Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 85 at 17,949. The S&P 500 Index down 3 at 2,097. NASDAQ Composite up 19 at 5,014. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 2 basis points to 1.92%. And oil down $1.12 at $56.26 per barrel. This is one of the busiest weeks for earnings reports, so let's jump in with both feet. IBM yesterday delivered its 12th straight quarter of declining revenue, but they beat earnings expectations because they proved that even if they aren't the masters of technology, they are the masters of financial engineering. One way to boost earnings per share, reduce the shares outstanding with stock buybacks. At some point, the strategy has a flaw, but that is for another day. We've known that a strong dollar would hurt U.S. companies doing business overseas, but we rarely think about reversing that equation. The weaker euro boosted revenue at German business software maker SAP in the first 3 months of the year, and it drove operating profit up 15%. First quarter revenue rose 22% to 4.5 billion euros. That was at the top of market forecast. At constant exchange rates, sales rose 10%. First quarter operating profit, excluding special items, rose to 1.06 billion euros. By the way, that's about $1.13 billion. They matched estimates. Excluding the effect of currencies, SAP's operating profit dropped 2%. Chip designer Arm Holdings supplies Apple's iPhone. Arm said first quarter profit rose 24%, beating forecast. Chief Executive Simon Segars said, "As the world becomes more digital and more connected, we continue to see an increase in the demand for Arm's smart and energy-efficient technology, which is driving both our licensing and royalty revenues." Well, another way to look at this is a sidebar play on Apple. DuPont, the chemical company, posted fiscal first quarter adjusted earnings of $1.34 per share, down from $1.58 a share in the year earlier period. Revenue fell to $9.2 billion from $10.1 billion a year ago. Earnings were a little better than estimates. Revenue was a little lower than estimates. DuPont earnings hit hard by a stronger dollar, but the company responded with aggressive cost cutting. United Technologies reported first quarter 2015 net income of $1.4 billion, or $1.58 per share, up from $1.2 billion, or $1.32 in the year-ago quarter. The increase in earnings was driven by a rise in aerospace sales and lower operating cost. Total revenue for the first quarter decreased 1% year-over-year to $14.5 billion. CEO Gregory Hayes said, "We had a good start to the year, despite headwinds from a stronger U.S. dollar. The fundamentals of all of our businesses remain solid, continuing to drive strong organic sales growth and allowing us to increase earnings per share by 13% on a constant currency basis, excluding the impact of gains and restructuring. Although commercial aerospace aftermarket growth was slower in the quarter than we anticipated for the year, the commercial building business in the U.S. is looking better, and I'm encouraged by the signs of growth that we're seeing in Europe." Verizon reported earnings per share of $1.02, beating estimates of 95 cents. Revenue of $32 billion rose 3.8% from last year, falling just short of expectations at $32.3 billion. Wireless revenues rose 7% to $22.3 billion, with 565,000 net new subscribers added. That brings Verizon's total wireless retail subscribers to 108.6 million. The wireless industry is embroiled in a price war. While great for smartphone users, not great for companies selling wireless connectivity. The average revenue per user across the industry fell 4% in the fourth quarter of last year. Verizon lost 138,000 phone customers over the last 3 months, and their CFO, Francis Shammo, said, if the customer who is just price-sensitive and does not care about the quality of the network or is sufficient with just paying a lower price, well, that's probably the customer we're not going to be able to keep. Which sounds a lot like, good riddance. Not exactly the most customer-friendly approach. And I'm reminded of an old saying, even when money is no object, price is always a consideration. The outgoing Credit Suisse CEO delivered his last set of earnings this morning. Net income in the first quarter up 23% as increased trading activity boosted the securities unit. But the stock is having its worst day since January after the bank said a key measure of financial strength dropped, raising concerns the bank may have to boost capital. Lockheed Martin, world's biggest defense contractor, reporting first quarter sales amounted to only $10.1 billion, down 5% year over year, about 1% below estimates. Operating profits dropped a similar 5%. Net earnings for the company were down 6% at $878 million. Lockheed ended the March quarter with a $77 billion backlog. That's down 4.4% from December 31st, but it left its full-year order and sales guidance unchanged. Sales were down, earnings were down, but earnings per share did not reflect the profits because Lockheed spent more than $600 million during the quarter, buying back 3 million of its own shares. Maybe they could have spent some more money whittling away that backlog. Chipotle Mexican Grill delivered a mixed report after the closing bell. Earnings topped estimates, but revenue fell just shy of forecast, as did a key restaurant industry sales metric. Chipotle stock dropped 5% after the report. Net income rose to $122 million, or $3.88 per share, up from $83 million, or $2.64 per share in the year-ago period. Revenue increased to $1.09 billion from $904 million a year ago. Comparable restaurant sales, that's a key industry metric, rose 10.4% during the quarter, but they missed estimates there. Yum! Brands reporting first quarter earnings of 80 cents per share on revenue of $2.6 billion. Yum! Brand same-store sales were forecast to tick 0.4% lower system-wide. Its Taco Bell unit was expected to perform the best, with projections calling for a 5.4% jump. Yahoo also reported after the close, first quarter results missed expectations on both lines. Yahoo posted adjusted earnings of 18 cents per share, missing estimates by 3 cents. Meanwhile, sales, excluding traffic acquisition cost of $1.04 billion, also came in short of expectations. Yahoo is supposed to be a turnaround story, but so far, it isn't turning. So what have we learned about earnings at this point in the reporting season? Well, Americans love Mexican food. Also, the strong dollar is hurting sales. Companies try to compensate for weak sales with buybacks and other tricks. Almost 73% of the S&P 500 components that have reported so far have beat profit expectations, but just 42% beat expectations for revenue. FactSet expects first quarter earnings for the S&P 500 to drop 4%, revenues to drop 3%, but it expects both earnings and revenues to be down 10% for companies that generate less than half their sales in the U.S. A mitigating factor for dollar-related pain is that the negative expectations have already been baked into the cake. The next consideration is whether earnings have peaked for the year. Moving on, Teva Pharmaceuticals offering to buy Mylan for $82 a share in cash and stock, a deal valued at $40 billion. Mylan, based in the Netherlands, already had an offer in to buy Perrigo, an Irish drug maker. Perrigo rejected that offer today. In the red-hot market for pharmaceutical deal-making, it's either eat or be eaten. General Electric is in early-stage talks with Wells Fargo about selling its entire $74 billion U.S. commercial lending and leasing portfolio, part of plans to continue dismantling its banking business. GE is also in talks with other bidders. Wells, along with Blackstone, was the buyer of nearly $30 billion of real estate-related assets from GE just 11 days ago. The global economic environment is still pretty much the same today. Chinese real estate development companies are going into default. Chinese government is trying to stimulate the economy. Meanwhile, Greece is broke. Time and money is running dry, and Greek government bonds have been falling off a cliff. The yield on the 3-year note climbed above 29% this morning for the first time since 2012. The European Central Bank says the beatings will continue until morale improves. The IMF says the beatings will continue until they get paid. The situation in the Middle East remains a mess. Although Saudi Arabia announced a ceasefire in Yemen, which doesn't mean the fighting has stopped, more like a pause to assess the impact of dropping all those bombs and then, who knows, maybe reload. The U.S. Navy has positioned an aircraft carrier off the coast of Yemen to protect the free flow of commerce in the Gulf of Aden and the Red Sea, while also keeping an eye on a flotilla of Iranian boats that Iran says is delivering humanitarian aid to Yemen. But one man's humanitarian aid is another man's gun. Meanwhile, the collateral damage from Syria, Libya, and Sudan continues to wash up on the shores of Malta and Rhodes. We try to tend to earnings reports and economic data. We are often reminded of the truly perilous. Remember years ago, when we talked about the future, the dream was that one day we would all be driving around in flying cars. It never happened. Instead, we have flying trains. Central Japan Railway set a new world speed record, 603 kilometers per hour. That's about 375 miles per hour. Test run just outside Tokyo. The next-gen train technology relies on magnetic power to float the cars above ground, eliminating the friction of steel tracks. The trains start off running on wheels until they get fast enough for the magnets to kick in and create lift. In theory, maglev train technology could redefine city-to-city travel in dramatic ways. The 4,200-kilometer journey from New York to San Francisco, no stops, could be covered in 7 hours at that speed. The new train technology is expensive. Japan looking to spend more than $120 billion on a line from Tokyo to Nagoya and Osaka. California struggling to lay tracks for an $86 billion high-speed line after Congress cut off funds for such projects. Follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast.